Greg Buscemi, you're running for Wrightsville Beach mayor. How long have you lived in Wrightsville Beach?
So I originally moved down here in 2006 to attend UNCW. That's just from a lifelong love of being near the beach. I grew up in Pennsylvania originally. Didn't really see the ocean until I was about 10 years old. My family was taking vacations out of the Outer Banks, and I never wanted to leave. So from that point on, I pretty much knew that once I got the opportunity, I was going to be living near the beach. UNCW gave me that chance. Best 5 years of my life. Picked up a second major just so I could stay another year. Would do it again if I could. But yeah, 06, and then in 2011, I left to go to Wake Forest for law school. And once I graduated, I came back here as quick as I could. Got a house in the South End and living there ever since.
So most people don't move to the beach to then work in local government. And even though it's not a staff position, this would be an elected position, it still is going to require an incredible amount of work. And I understand you're a practicing lawyer with your own firm. How would you balance those two things?
It's about finding the time. There's priorities that everyone has in life. Just from what I've seen in recent years of how the town's operated, I know whatever amount of time it took, I'd be willing to put in that effort to make sure it was done correctly and actually doing it for the benefit of my neighbors and stuff down there, because there's been a lot of concerns lately. The way that things are being enforced seems like there's some targeted enforcement of efforts against certain businesses but not other businesses, against certain people but not others, and people are upset. It seems like a lot of their focus is on some minuscule things when they should be prioritizing some of the bigger projects, like fixing the infrastructure or the flooding issues. Even in just heavy rainfalls now, a lot of the areas are getting flooded. You can't even reach the driveways at this point. It's coming into their homes every time it rains a little bit longer than you'd expect it to. And that's only going to get worse. And there's been no effort really to address those concerns. So even if it took all my free time, which right now seems to be limited, but like I said, anything to get in there and make some appropriate changes to make sure people are being taken care of.
Well, you're talking about a pretty important issue for all coastal communities, which is not just figuring out how best to respond to the increasing severity and frequency of storms, but also how to build infrastructure and communities that are going to be more resilient. Do you have specific ideas about how that needs to go?
Yeah, so I've reached out to a couple of people recently. One of them was Dr. Robert Young at Western Carolina. He's the program director for their shoreline protection program. And I spoke with him at length one night, just talking about his general thoughts on the issue, what he thought would be the most appropriate way to move forward. And it's important to get his advice because he had a lot of great information for me. This is all kind of new to me, but that's one thing it's a gift and a curse. I hear about something, I'm genuinely curious about it, and I'll spend a lot of time or as much time as necessary getting the information and making sure that I'm aware of the issue and I can reasonably understand and explain it to other people. So in this case, it's the concern with the town is funding for the nourishment projects. And it's hard to prioritize that when the people haven't really been given all the information on all the other alternative solutions that could be presented to them. One of those things, and Dr. Young, not necessarily Wrightsville Beach, but he had a study come out about Topsail Beach, about instead of just funding nourishment for the area, just taking some of the properties there. It's called targeted acquisition, taking some of the properties there and allowing the water to come up to those and overcoming the land and just resetting or changing the footprint of the island to accommodate the higher water levels. And again, I'm not saying that's the appropriate solution, but it's something that's not even being considered.
You're talking about retreat, a form of retreat.
Yeah, exactly.
And the R word is something that elected officials are reluctant to say because of the stakeholders.
Right, absolutely. And I think the benefit of me being in this position is I got no skin in the game. I don't own property down at the beach. I have student loans. I'm graduated from Wake Forest, a private law school. I wanted to live near the beach, and I gave up that opportunity to live in Wilmington and save money for an eventual beach house just because I wanted to be there. So I'll rent till I die. But
So fair enough. That is something that a lot of academics who've studied this for a long time talk about. It's still considered a fairly radical solution. So if you are campaigning with an audience of probably mostly property owners, stakeholders at Wrightsville Beach, what's your case to them for exploring some of those options?
Well, the people I'm campaigning to are the voters. And on the island, not many voters are the ones that own the properties along the oceanfront. There are a lot of those homes that are owned by corporations, that are owned by individuals out of the town, out of the state, that are being used as for-profit assets, pretty much benefiting from their spot on the shoreline. And they're the ones that are benefiting. I think 95% of the benefit of those projects, the nourishment, goes to protecting those homes. Sure, there's the additional, you know, saving the beach, allowing, you know, tourists to come and having the room to do the activities. But most of that is to prevent the insurance claims from those homes on the oceanfront. So my pitch to them is it's really looking at what the area that needs to be nourished is, what properties are there. And something that, another thing that hasn't even been considered by the town is putting a, what are they? It's a municipal service district. A lot of other coastal towns are doing those, pretty much making those property owners the ones that are going to be paying a little bit more in their taxes to fund the projects that are going to be benefiting solely them. And again,
sort of
a
graduated assessment.
Exactly. If you're on the oceanfront, you're one of the first, you know, line of homes there, maybe you pay a little bit more every year. If you're going to profit from one of those spaces, you should pay a little bit and, you know, give to the fund a little bit. It's not fair for the rest of the island to have to pay when they're the ones that are receiving all the benefit from these million-dollar projects.
Okay, so you're broaching the topic of retreat. You recognize there's a need for nourishment and possibly talking about a graduated form of taxes or a municipal service district to pay for that.
Right.
Are there other strategies? A lot of municipalities, for example, are now talking about shoreline management professionals because there are so many components to a shoreline management strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to look at a thorough, balanced approach to it. You need to get the public support. But you can only get that if you give them all the information, if you give it in a factual, real assessment of what the potential changes are, because the footprint is going to change. We cannot stop the rising sea levels. It's done. It's going to happen. It's going to get worse, and we're going to have to pay for it. So it's up to the town to really make the effort to make sure everyone's aware of what the options are, what the benefits, the costs, the risks, the alternatives, all that. We can't make a decision as a community if they're not willing to reach out to the community with that information to get their, you know, to get their input, to get their support. Because you shouldn't make a decision based off what you think as, you know, one of a 5-member board. You shouldn't make a decision that significant without getting the input and at least giving the public the full opportunity to realize what the situation is.
Now, this issue, shoreline management, is not the number one issue that's listed on your campaign website. It was interesting to me that transparency and government responsiveness was at the top. And frankly, this is something that I'm hearing from candidates across the spectrum when it comes to municipalities in New Hanover and Brunswick counties, really. How would you foster greater transparency? Because that is a laudable goal, and it's a very easy thing to say, and everybody's saying it. So what are your specific ideas?
Well, it's a very easy thing to say, but it's also a very easy thing to do. One of the things that I'm frustrated with the town right now about is they have their meetings, and they're required to make minutes of those meetings. They don't post those. They don't approve those minutes until about 6 months after the previous meeting when it's already taken place. So as a lawyer, I'm going on to the website, into their archives, trying to find minutes of activities and public activities and decisions that they've made and reasons for those decisions. And they're not on there. Even though the meeting was 2 months ago, they refused to make an effort to approve those minutes for publication until 6 months later. On top of that, if there's any kind of litigation against the town, by state law, they're required to put the name of the parties in the town minutes, so everyone is aware of who's involved in the lawsuit and what the decision is when they come out of the closed session. Because most of the time they'll go into a closed session. The town only says they go in there for litigation matters. We have no idea what that litigation is. If I'm looking for past lawsuits from, you know, similar situations, if I have a client coming to me saying that the town's doing something that they feel is wrong, I have no opportunity to go in there and look for previous examples of it happening to other people. Is this a targeted effort? Is this a systemic thing? I have no idea because they don't follow the public records laws. Simple stuff like just following the state laws.
You realize that's a pretty serious allegation, not following public records laws.
Well, you can look it up
government.
On their website right now. Look at every one of their minutes from the past years. Anytime they go into a closed session for a litigation matter, they do not list the name of the parties. You go to the public record statutes, and it's required. It's just a simple thing like that that gives everyone an opportunity to see what's actually going on. From my perspective, based on what I've seen over the past year and a half, of taking a really close look at how the town operates, it seems to be all part of the situation where they just want to keep everything swept under the rug. And it's not fair when it's such a small town, a small government. It impacts a lot of people. Even if it impacts one person, everyone has the right to know what the town's doing and how they're doing it and why they're doing it and when they're doing it. if something significant happens, they need to make sure that the minutes are posted sooner than later, and just make a more, you know, outright effort to make some, you know, some community outreach, whether it's social media, whether it's email distribution, anything. Right now, it seems like they just like to keep everything swept under the rug. And that's one of the reasons I joined, you know, wanted to run in the campaign, was so I can shine some light on some of these issues.
When did that crystallize for you?
So, let's see. I read an article that Blair wasn't going to run for re-election and that Daryl Mills was going to succeed him, pretty much. He was running unopposed at the time, and this was early in the filing period. I had no idea who Daryl Mills was. No clue. So I figured, you know, let's see what this guy's about. Let's see if he's going to change anything, make any difference. First, I Google Daryl Mills, Reitzel Beach. First things that pops up is articles from 2015 about how he called a local waitress a mixed breed expletive. And at that point, I pretty much knew if no one was going to challenge him, that I was going to file. Because
What about that story made you so angry?
It's 2019, and even then it was 2015, and I know that a lot of people, my generation at least, were just sick of it. It's not fair to the community. It's not fair to people that feel unwelcome there now. It's not fair for him to be in a position of power when there's that history of the racism, the sexism. We're a tourism community. And just in general, be respectful. We need leaders that are going to be willing to set aside their personal opinions, set aside their thoughts on how things should be or whatnot, and just do what the law says and serve the public. And there seemed to be no accountability there when that happened. I felt terrible because that girl was a Reitzel Beach resident, and then she ended up moving to Charlotte. And from what I hear, she hasn't come back very often because she doesn't feel welcome. And after I filed, I reached out to her before I filed and let her know, because I wanted to make sure if I did bring that up, that she'd be aware of it, you know, at least not get caught off guard by this coming up again. But eventually I ended up meeting her, and she's the nicest girl, and I felt terrible that this whole thing has affected her in the way that it has. And it only made me want to, you know, just keep pushing this further. And it seems like everyone has allowed that to get forgotten. But I'm going to keep bringing it up and make sure everyone's aware that if you vote for this guy, you're voting for someone that's not going to be respected. He doesn't represent me. He doesn't represent the people on the island that I know that live there year-round that just like being in a community of people that enjoy the coast, enjoy the water, enjoy each other.
On a different topic, there is a tension, it seems, between some bar owners and local residents. And people have been talking about noise, and we've heard the town manager talking about trying to figure out ways to sort of navigate that tension. Do you have ideas about that?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing the town could easily do is put up signage. Within the first 300 feet of leaving the bars, put up some signage, just reminding the young people that are leaving the bars to be respectful. I went to UNCW. I lived on Henderson Street and Greensboro Street the last 2 years I was there. We never attempt, you know, intentionally were rowdy, anything like that. If we'd walk home from the beach bars, we always wanted to make sure that we weren't going to cause an issue. Because we like being here. We want to be respectful to everyone. And that's no different now than it was back then. If they can make those efforts just to have everyone do their part. And on top of that, it seems like they only put a couple of cops down there at night on the busy nights. And it seems like only in front of Red Dogs. They just want to make sure that anyone gets kicked out of Red Dogs gets arrested. So they can have that report to say that Red Dogs is a nuisance. I've spoken to a bunch of the bar owners and the restaurant owners, and they're upset with how things have been handled recently. And I think it's just simple changes. Put a couple more cops down there. Give people some, you know, some oversight and some signage and just a subtle reminder. I think it'd be very effective.
Several people have died this year on area beaches from drowning. And this happens most years in the Cape Fear region, not just at Reitzel Beach. But what responsibility, if any, does local government have with that issue? Is this something that people just need to understand is one of the risks of going to the beach? Or should the town of Reitzel Beach be doing anything more?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Of course, if you're going to be going to the beach and doing an ocean activity, you should be aware that there is a risk of, you know, harm or danger or injury in any event. But the town makes no effort to improve the safety at the beach. I think one of the events back in July, there was that Durham father that drowned on Reitzel Beach at the South End. And I read an article on it, and I was really caught off guard by how insensitive it came across, at least to me. And it's because of everyone that was actually
How insensitive who?
So from what I understand,
Do you mean local responders?
Or? So there were people there, the people that were beachgoers that saw the situation and ran, jumped into the water to try to help. And they made comments in the article, and they were the ones that actually, they saw what happened. They saw that the guy, his two young kids were walking on the jetty, that it was a relatively calm day. And all of a sudden, when the water started getting, you know, higher tide, the water starts slamming into the jetty. That knocked them into the water and caused, you know, forced them to jump in and try to save them. And then ultimately, he was unable to be resuscitated. Following that, I think the town manager was quoted saying that the people were concerned, why isn't there more signage? Why isn't there a lifeguard down there? We need to get a lifeguard down to this, you know, someone to protect that area. And their response was, well, we don't want a lifeguard down there because it encourages people to swim. And in my head, I'm like, no one was swimming. No one was swimming there. That wasn't the danger. The danger was water coming up over the jetty and hitting people that were walking on it off. Read at the bottom of the article, and one of the residents is telling us that there used to be a sign on the jetty that warned people of the danger of walking on the jetty. Hurricane Florence blew that sign away, and the town never replaced it. So there's no mention of that by the town. There's no mention of why it was never replaced, whether that sign could have prevented those kids from walking on there and prevented the whole situation. And no effort to make any significant changes to protect people in the future. There was another sign in the dunes that I guess was covered up or hidden or in the wrong spot. And it's stuff like that. It's simple changes. Get the appropriate signage. Make sure people are aware. Maybe have an ATV with the lifeguard. The lifeguard stand is 350 yards away, closest one. Give him an ATV in case something happens at the south end of the jetty so he can get down there in 10 seconds instead of 5 minutes. Simple stuff like that can protect lives, and it's not a significant investment that's going to cost the town. I don't know why there seems to be a priority over profiting rather than protecting the people, and it's some simple stuff like that that I can go in there. I feel like I can change immediately.
The current administration passed a budget with no rate increases, and according to Lumina News, the new budget spares residents from increasing water and sewer rates, property tax, despite greater expenditures in several departments, and of course a rainy 2018 that affected tourism-dependent revenue sources. Are there elements of the current budget that you disagree with?
Oh, absolutely. One thing, $3.2 million, I think, this year was going to be the anticipated revenue from the parking fees, fees and enforcement, whether or not it's from the meters or violations or anything. That's half of the budget coming from parking. And like you said, the 2018 budget was affected by the hurricane. That's only going to get worse. We cannot rely on half of our revenue stream coming from a contingent funding source. It's irresponsible. There's no long-term structural sustainability there. And if you're going to profit off of beach tourism, why are we getting $3.2 million from parking fees but only $500,000 from the room occupancy taxes? Where's the balance there? There's got to be a fair way to do this. If you're going to, whether it's an additional, I don't think county or cities can put in their own tax on that, but there are ways to generate more revenue from appropriate sources. If you're going to profit off of beach tourism, you got to distribute it, at least in my opinion. There should be a more fair approach to doing that instead of just harming, you know, making the people that come across the bridge from Wilmington, the students, the lower income people. The beach belongs to everybody. And it seems like the town feels like they own everything and they can just block out who they want to block out, have these restrictive rates, and use that as a win-win. They get to keep people off that can't afford it, and they get to get half the revenue from it at the same time.
The town had a scare earlier this year when people discovered Gen X and other PFAS compounds in the well water. This was a surprise that it had reached Wrightsville Beach well mm-hmm. water. And so they quickly connected with CFPUA, and they were able to get water at a discounted rate. But that's an ongoing issue for the entire region. Do you have an idea, a proposal for making sure that Wrightsville Beach residents have clean water that are free of these compounds?
So from what I understand, it's not just the Gen X that's the current emergency aspect of the water system. The infrastructure itself is about to break. It's 100 years old. I guess it's shifting in the sand underneath the town. And it seems like every other week or so, there's an area of the town that either has a boil advisory, there's a leak or low pressure or something. There's been a persistent refusal to do any significant upgrade or even like an analysis of what it would take, whether it's replacing the whole damn thing or doing section by section upgrades to make it sustainable for the future. There's been no effort. That's my biggest concern. Clearly, those are issues that have to be addressed. Right now, they get it from an aquifer that doesn't connect to the river. So there is their own source of water. But there's ways to filter that to make it safer, to make it cleaner. And again, it's only going to get worse with the pollution aspect with the rising seas. The more flooding we get, the more pollution is going to get into the water supply. And again, they know that, but they have refused to really make any significant effort to prevent that from causing future harm.
It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
You're talking about funding.
Absolutely.
And you're talking about finding different ways of paying for redoing infrastructure. I mean, that's some of the most.
And I think this all boils back to reaching out to the community. A lot of people aren't aware of this. People don't know. They feel like if the town's doing what they're doing and their lives are good at this point, that they're probably just doing a good job. It's not the case. There are significant concerns about the next 10, 20, 30 years that I have, at least, when I want to be living on the island and have a sustainable environment and have working infrastructure and clean water and safe beaches. And right now, unless we do something soon, it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to be the same Wrightsville Beach that we've had in the past. And it's upsetting because I relocated here because I love being here. Me, along with the majority of the people that live there full-time, we just want to be able to enjoy the beach and have clean water. It's not so much to ask for. It's the town's job to provide that, and they're just refusing to even give the slightest effort to do that for us.
What kinds of transportation improvements do you think that the town needs to plan for and facilitate? I mean, of course, the State Department of Transportation is a huge factor in this, and we recently learned that they're out of cash for the time being anyway. So what does Wrightsville Beach need to be planning for, and what should be the top priorities?
And that's a great issue that needs to be addressed again. I live on the South End. Every weekend in the summer, I can't leave my house. The traffic on Waynick Boulevard is about a half mile long at least throughout the day. So if I need to do anything before the weekend, I better make sure I go to the store, run all my errands, and I'm in my house camped up ready to go for the next 3 days. It shouldn't be that way. And again, I think part of it is the lack of outreach, the lack of even figuring out, do people want to do any kind of public transportation improvements or any projects like that or any ideas? They're happy with just putting more and more parking spaces on, which is welcome more and more, more cars from increasing the traffic and getting the rates. All they care about is getting profit from the parking fees. It's ruining the opportunity for us to enjoy the island the way that we could, to maximize the benefit for us and the visitors. Whether it's And I think it all boils down to just, again, the community outreach, getting people into the building, hearing what their thoughts are. If they'd be willing to support a project with a local bus, like a trolley system or a wave transit bus coming from the school, or anything to address the congestion and promoting or increasing the access for people to come and quickly and easily enjoy the beach instead of having to spend 45 minutes looking for a spot, paying $30 to park, and not being able to leave once you get there.
The idea of wave transit going out to Wrightsville Beach has pretty consistently been shot down.
Yeah.
And now we know, as of this week, that New Hanover County will phase out of funding wave transit, I think, as of 2021.
I think it was 2021. That's what I read. And that's very unfortunate because I think there are a lot of people in the community, not just Wrightsville, but in Wilmington itself, that rely on the public transportation. And it's unfortunate because I think, again, it's just an effort to prioritize profits over people. People should be able to rely on systems like that provided by our government to access and enjoy the various parts of town and the local scenery. And again, I think there's a way to do it. It all starts with taking one step to just considering something, because right now they're not even doing that. So if we even just bring in somebody to do a traffic assessment, I believe they did one about 10 years ago or 15 years ago. It's probably outdated at this point, but bring someone in, do an assessment, get some ideas. What would be the most, cost beneficial? Get the public's input, get their support, and try something. We need to try something because right now it's just not working.
So it seems like a lot of your strategy is greater public engagement.
Absolutely.
So let's say that you do get elected, and let's say that you're finishing up this first term and you're looking back on your 2 years in office. How is Wrightsville Beach different because you've been there for 2 years in local government?
people will once again have faith that their government is acting in their best interests and not in the interests of private corporations or profits or otherwise, that we're at least making an effort to improve the daily lives and safety of the people on the beach.
Okay, now let's flip it around. You're starting a term, you get one free pass, you get one thing that you don't have to find funding for or build consensus for. What is it?
Dog park. Easy. And that's the selfish one. I got a dog. And that's my girl. And
Kona.
Yeah, Kona.
Named after Hawaiian coffee.
Right, the Hawaiian coffee. Yeah, the Siberian Husky from Hawaii. There are a lot of people now that have dogs. And I know a bunch of them just by virtue of passing them on the street. And that's how I met a lot of my neighbors. And it's great because we all get along. We all recognize that there's a need for it.
Where does the dog park go?
Great question. There's some space near the government buildings. There's lots available. There's ways to... There's somewhere it could go. And again, let's reach out to the community. Let's do a vote. Let's do a poll. Let's go and do a survey and see who would be willing, you know, who thinks this would be a good spot or this would be a good spot. Where do most of the dog owners live right now? There's a lot of people in Harbor Island that have dogs, and I've heard from them as well. There needs to be some place. And that's a great – so I take my dog to Ogden now, the dog park out there, at least I have in the past. And again, it's a great way to meet your neighbors, to have a good time enjoying the local amenities. Dogs always get along. Everyone's friendly. It's a great environment. I've had clients that I've met at the dog park. It's a great way to, again, it's just about, it's about a community effort. There's a way to do it, and I think it'd be very beneficial for everyone to have a chance to go out and let the dogs interact, get their energy out, instead of people being bottled up all day.
Is there anything, any specific issue or idea that we haven't talked about that you think it's important people know about you when they go to the polls?
I think the most important thing to consider is the fact that it's me. It's going to be me or the other guy. And I think people just really need to ask themselves, who better represents you? I am here. I don't want to make any significant changes, at least not without the public's input, without their support. I want to represent my community because from what I can tell, I am representative of their interests. We all share those same goals. We all share the same concern. We all have the same problems. But no one there in there right now has made any effort to fix those for us. And in the past, it seems like in the recent years, with the appointments to boards, with the shifting of positions and local, whether it's from the county to the municipality, it's all the same people that have been running. And I feel like they're just pretty set in their ways. They're pretty blatant about their ability to sustain their power. We need to change it up. We need to, you know, a lot of people don't have any faith that they'll be taken care of. If they call the town about an issue, nothing's going to get done. It's unfortunate. It's their job. There needs to be someone in there that's going to be more responsive, that's going to apply the law fairly, it's going to be transparent and engage the community and make sure that everyone's being, every concern is addressed. Whether or not it's the right solution to that person, let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Let's at least make an open effort to hear all this, all the alternatives, all the potential, and act on something. If we don't try anything, it's not going to get any better.
Greg Buscemi, thanks for coming in and sharing your views.
Oh, thank you for the time. I really appreciate the opportunity.